Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome in on this Thursday morning. This is the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Lots to talk about on today's show. Going to be going over some college football playoffs in depth a little bit. I know John and I got the chance to talk about it some yesterday on Tomahawk Talk, but I kind of want to go in depth into a couple of different things having to deal with it as far as the rankings go, and obviously some things this weekend happening too. I do think that there are some crazy scenarios that could play out, that could happen, that really is going to cause some havoc there. And that's, you know, it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. I don't know. I think I'm still very much a fan of the 12-team playoff. That has not wavered. I am still very much, definitely for sure, a fan of having the 12-team playoff. I still think it's good for college football. But I do think that we need to do a little bit better job of vetting who we are planning on letting in, who we're not letting in. Obviously, when you look at the top 25, when you get to 25 to 16, there's really no, or 25 to 18, we'll go that. So 25 through 18, there's really no issues. 10 through 1, there's really no issues. It is that middle part of the top 25 for the college football playoffs that's really kind of where there's a lot of controversy. That area where you have Arizona State, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Miami, and Alabama. Those few spots right there. And even really, as John mentioned yesterday, Clemson, because Clemson's still very much in the picture. If they win the ACC championship game, if they knock off SMU on Saturday night, there's going to be a legitimate shot for Clemson to get into the college football playoff as the ACC conference champion. Because we already know those conference champions get in. They may not necessarily get that automatic bye and get pushed into the quarterfinals, but they do still get in for winning the conference. So if Clemson finds a way to win the ACC on Saturday in Charlotte over SMU, they're in the college football playoff. So really, from Alabama at 11 to, I believe, where let me grab the top 25 ranking we have here in the studio. So, from Alabama at 11 to where Clemson is at 17, really kind of that whole grouping is where there's a lot of controversy and there's a lot of upset people and there's a lot of conversations happening that I think honestly and truthfully are good for the future of the college football playoffs, because there's a lot of people that are proving a lot of great points. I first and foremost want to start with the fact that seemingly everybody but Alabama fans have a problem with Alabama being at number 11, and I have to agree with that. Alabama is 9-3. There is in no way, shape, or form any way that a three-loss team should be ahead of any other team unless it's another 9-3 team. It just shouldn't. And there's the conversation that can be brought up. Oh, well, you know, they could be better than Miami. I don't know. I think if Alabama and Miami were to ever play, these two teams were ever play, I feel like it would be a shootout, because Miami's defense would, no matter what Jalen Hurd and what version of this Alabama offense we saw, it could be the offense that played against Oklahoma in a couple of weeks from here, and they'd still score 30, 40 points on that Miami defense. That's how bad that Miami defense is. But on the flip side of that, I feel like Cam Ward would clean up pretty well against Alabama's defense. And I'm not saying that Alabama's defense is bad. I'm just saying I think Cam Ward, Restrepo, the guys that they have there on the offensive side of the ball for Miami, I think they would be able to make plays. They're going to be able to score points. And it's going to come down to who's going to be able to score more points and win the shootout. So there's really no clear-cut winner for that conversation. If you go, well, what if they played head-to-head? Honestly, with Cam Ward and Restrepo, and that offense being consistent, even in the loss, they were consistent, right? Even when they lost games, when they lost to Syracuse, they still scored a lot of points. When they lost to Georgia Tech, they still scored points and went up and down the field. That Miami's offense has been more consistent than Alabama's has is not an understatement. It's not a bad thing to say because it's true. Miami's offense has been more consistent this year than Alabama's has. And that's why I think if they ever did do a head-to-head matchup, I'd lean towards Miami. Consistency is key in the game of football. If you are not consistent, you are not successful. And the reason Alabama has had the down year that 9-3 is for them now, it's because they haven't been consistent. Whether it's been offensively, defensively, penalties, turnovers, things like that, shooting themselves in the foot, there's been no consistency there with them. And that's why they lost the three games that they did. On the other side of that, for Arizona State. Arizona State was a team that was picked to finish dead last in their conference. They had no hope. And look at what the Sun Devils have been able to do with this season. They are playing fantastic football. And honestly and truthfully, I wouldn't, again, same with Miami. With the way that they score points, I wouldn't count them out against any team. I really wouldn't. Their only loss on the season, or their first big loss on the season, I believe was backing it up towards the beginning of the year. They dropped the game to BYU. I would honestly and say if that game was played again, any loss that Arizona had or Arizona State had early in the season, if that game was to be played now, Arizona State probably wins it. They're an improved football team over the course of the season. And that's something that the committee doesn't look at. They really should. They really should. And of course, we're talking about the college football playoff top 25 ranking here on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can do so by texting in or calling 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. I also, it's not going to be a popular opinion. Some people will agree with me. Most of them are from South Carolina. But I feel like South Carolina should have gotten a harder look. I really do. South Carolina has only won 6 games in a row. They are, 3-1, 3-2 against top 25 opponents. So they're right there around the same mark as Alabama against top 25 opponents. Their losses, honestly and truthfully, their losses are more impressive than Alabama and Ole Miss. Right? I mean, if we're going to have that conversation and that's going to be what we judge them on and that's going to be the criteria that we look at them and we say, all right, not only did they have quality wins, but did they have quality losses? Which is something the committee does look at. If that is what we are going to do, then you have to look at South Carolina and be pretty impressed. I mean, their losses so far on the season, they lost to Alabama by 2. Yes, Ole Miss beat them pretty handily. But I think there was a combination of things in that game. I think Ole Miss just came into that game pissed off because that was the game after the Kentucky game for Ole Miss. I think they were just mad and wanting to prove a point, and they just took it out on South Carolina. Had Ole Miss beaten Kentucky, I think, honestly and truthfully, I think that we might have had a little bit closer of a game in Columbia between South Carolina and Ole Miss. I really do. But I think the Rebels were just pissed off coming into that game. And so they came in there and they wanted to use that game to prove a point, and they did. But still, that's two teams that are currently in the college football playoff that South Carolina lost to. Compare that to Ole Miss's losses, right? Unranked Kentucky, a now unranked LSU team, an unranked Florida team. And oh, by the way, if you want to knock down that Kentucky loss another peg, that's a below 500 Kentucky team. They finished the year 4-8. That's not a good team. Florida's a mediocre team. LSU's a mediocre team. and Ole Miss lost to all of them. I don't care what graphics Lane Kiffin puts up. I don't care if he gets on there and says, well, we only lost to this team by three. Okay, Lane, you want to play the game of you beat Oklahoma by X amount and Alabama lost by Y amount to Oklahoma? Cool. Let's look at the LSU game. You lost to LSU. Alabama boat rates them in a night game in Death Valley, in Tiger Stadium. You can make those comparisons all day long on both sides for every single one of these teams. There is no clear-cut path for any one of these 9-3 teams that should lead them to being in the top 20, in the top 12. There's really not. If you asked me that spot right there, I would have had Miami at 11, Arizona State at 12. Then I probably would have put South Carolina at 14 because they're playing better football right now than Alabama or Ole Miss. You can come at me at that if you want to, 850-623-1330. But the fact of the matter is South Carolina's won six straight games. Two of those games were a top 10 win against Texas A&M, pretty convincingly, and then a win against a top 15 Clemson Tiger team on the road in Clemson. That's an impressive recent resume. You want to look at the recent resume? That's impressive. You want to compare that to somebody who in the last couple of weeks lost to Oklahoma by 21. And then, yes, they beat them by two touchdowns, but did they really dominate Auburn in the Iron Bowl? I don't think they did. I think Auburn shot themselves in the foot a lot more than Alabama actually dominated them in that game. And then on the flip side of that, you're looking at Ole Miss, a team that went into Gainesville, got beat by an unranked Florida team that at that time wasn't 500. That win made them 500. That win made them 5-5 on the season. Then they go to Mississippi State, Mississippi State comes to them, and they struggle. Mississippi State was very much in that ball game. You can look at the final score. What was it, 26-14? Something like 26-17, something like that. Mississippi State had their opportunities in that game. Give Jeff Leiby another year or two and Mississippi State would have won that game. But year one, the roster being what it is for them, they just didn't have enough. So Ole Miss really isn't playing that great. Alabama really isn't playing that great. South Carolina's won the last six games in a row. That's why I put South Carolina ahead of Ole Miss and Alabama. I know, head-to-head, cool, great. But again, right now with the way that Alabama is playing, if they played South Carolina again, I feel like South Carolina would go into Tuscaloosa and beat them. And that's why you have to look at the recent, what is happening right now. Because you know what? A team could be really good in August and September, but when you hit November, they can be a different football team for better or for worse. And right now, Alabama, Ole Miss, it's for worse. Go into the swamp and get beat to pretty much end your college football playoff and your SEC championship hopes. Go into Norman, Oklahoma, and just get boat raced by Oklahoma. Then you squeak out a win by a couple of touchdowns against your rival because they're undermanned and undersized compared to you. If Ole Miss was to play South Carolina again, if Alabama was to play South Carolina again, South Carolina would be a favorite in those games. And I know a lot of people don't want to believe that, but right now, with the way the two teams are playing, it's either going to be pretty much an even line or South Carolina would be favored by 2 or 3 points. South Carolina is the better football team. So that's why in that section, I would have Miami at 11, Arizona State at 12, South Carolina at 13, then I would go Alabama at 14, Ole Miss at 15. And none of those 9-3 teams would have a shot at getting into the college football playoff. Why? Because they don't deserve it. Three games should be the limit. You lose three games, you're not getting into the college football playoff. That's just how it is. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. As far as the playoffs goes, some best-case scenarios, it doesn't shake anything up. All the favorites win this weekend in our conference championship games, right? Oregon, Texas, Arizona State, all of those teams, SMU, if they win, it's really not going to change much of anything. But I'm going to tell you right now, if Georgia beats Texas again, if Clemson beats SMU, if Penn State finds a way to knock off the Ducks, I don't think it happens, but if they do, it's going to create chaos because I don't think Oregon, Texas, or SMU would be out of the college football playoff, but it is definitely going to cause some major realignment and rearrangement. And it's definitely going to change the way we see these matchups because right now you have college football playoff matchups would be the quarterfinals would be Boise State, Oregon, SMU, and Texas all sitting there waiting with that bye week as the top four seeds. And then you'd have Arizona State, Penn State. You'd have Tennessee, Ohio State. You'd have Alabama, Notre Dame. Then you'd have Indiana and Georgia. There'd be a lot of discussions that need to happen if Texas gets beat by Georgia, if SMU gets beat by Clemson, if Penn State beats Oregon. There's a lot of conversations that need to happen. And then in that case, if that happens and Boise State wins their conference championship game on Friday night against UNLV, do you look at making Boise State the top seed in the conference tournament or in the playoff tournament? Because everybody else ahead of them would have lost their game. So do you nudge them up to being that number one seed as the highest rated G5 conference champion? I don't think that would happen. But it's a conversation that's there worth having. And that's what I mean by if these teams lose, if our favorites lose, if all of the betting odd favorites lose on Friday and Saturday, chaos in the college football playoff. I'm just saying. Could be a fun weekend. Not if you're a member of the committee. It could be very stressful for you. But I think it would definitely change some things up for sure. Would it be something that leaves Alabama out? Nah, probably not. Probably not. Alabama's in. Sorry if you don't like it. I know 9-3 teams should not deserve to get in, especially when you have two 10-2 teams that have the opportunity of getting in. A 9-3 team should not get in over them. But that logo, that name, it carries weight, and it brings in the almighty dollar. So the committee, I actually saw a funny TikTok yesterday. It was the scene from Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks where they're talking about they've got to build the air filter. And they're like, we've got to find a way to make this fit into this with all of this. And they have to build that air filter to help them get back to Earth. They said that was the committee trying to get Alabama into the college football playoff with 3 losses. I don't think anything's more truer than that. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, we will stick with college football. Because Central Florida has let a name out that they are looking at as potentially their next head coach. And I'm all for shooting for the stars, but it's not happening. And no, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's not Nick Saban. We'll be back right after this.
Florida State and the ACC, the best in college basketball.
Watkins around the defense, wow. And hammers it home with the right hand.
Jacks it all the way in, count the bucket, and one.
Left wing, Rainmaker, nothing but nylon.
We've got you covered with Florida State basketball all season long here on the home of the Seminoles.
Your home for Florida State basketball is ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You want it? You got it.
College football on ESPN Pensacola.
Green 18!
Saturday, it's the SEC Championship game with the Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Texas Longhorns at 2:30 p.m. Georgia was the only team to beat Texas in the regular season. Can they do it again for the SEC Championship? Catch every pass, every play right here, where the champions play. ESPN. Pensacola.
It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola. 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Feeling more and more like the holiday season as we are 20 days away from Christmas, believe it or not. Not to put you in a panic. I know I haven't even started Christmas shopping yet. I'm in trouble. I just kind of scared myself there with that 20 days from Christmas. But hey, we've got some great programming coming up for you today. As a matter of fact, soon as we get done here on the Glass Half Full at 10, we are going to have War Eagle Weekly. They are going to be talking a little Auburn football, wrapping up the season that was for the Auburn Tigers. Unfortunately, no bowl game for Auburn this year, so Hugh Freeze will have an extended offseason, if you will, to help bring in some updated talent. I saw that they're one of the top 10 recruiting classes. I think they were like at 7 with the early signing day being yesterday. So he's definitely bringing in some good players. I expect him to hit the portal hard, and I think Auburn's going to be a better football team next year. I think Auburn and Mississippi State are going to be fun to watch next year. I think Jeff Leiby is going to have more of his guys in place in Starkville, and I think Gus Malzahn's – or excuse me, not Gus Malzahn. I went back. I hopped on the Gus bus, and it turned into a time machine. I went back in time. I think Hugh Freeze – sorry about that, Auburn fans. I think Hugh Freeze is going to have a pretty good team next year, especially with the recruiting class he's putting together. Also, coming up tonight on ESPN Pensacola – we've got Thursday night football, Westwood One's coverage of the Packers and the Lions. Big NFC North matchup there. We'll talk about that coming up a little later on in the show. But right now, I'm going to talk about Central Florida. I know they like to dream big with their fake national titles and things like that that they like to celebrate. But having the plan to go after a guy like Lincoln Riley to be your next head coach, thinking that you could pull him away from USC – that's a little too big for me if I'm UCF. You're not getting Lincoln Riley to replace Gus Malzahn, and that's probably why I had the Freudian slip a while ago. You're just not going to do it. He's not going to leave USC. Why, if you were Lincoln Riley, would you leave a world-class university in L.A. to go and coach at UCF? Now, it's not a knock at UCF, and it's not Orlando. I love Orlando. That is the city beautiful, absolutely. Lived there for several years and would not mind living there again. But when you look at the football programs, why would you leave USC, all the tradition, all the pageantry, Snoop Dogg probably knocking on your door every now and then, coming in, calling your nephew, asking you how you're doing and all that stuff. Will Ferrell on the sidelines. Why would you leave all of that to go to Central Florida and have to rebuild a team that Gus Malzahn helped tear down, right? After Josh Heupel did such a great job with that team and building them up to what they were, Scott Frost did an okay job until he left to go to Nebraska, and then that just fell apart on him. But ever since then, it's just been for UCF. So if you're Lincoln Riley, why would you leave USC to go to UCF? Makes no sense, right? USC could pay you more than UCF ever could. So that's number one why I think UCF overshooting. You know, sometimes okay, you know, like when if you're a guy, you may hear this. If you're dating a really beautiful woman, you outkicked your coverage, right? One of your buddies may be like, bro, when they meet her, like, bro, you outkicked your coverage on that one. UCF's trying to outkick their coverage, right? UCF is the 6 or the 7 at the bar that looks across and sees the 10 and goes, I'm gonna go get her number. Homie, no, you're not. It's not happening. You can go over there might be a conversation, but at the end of the day, you are a 6. She is a 10. It ain't happening. USC can pay him more money. It is a bigger school. Better recruits. Better facilities. All of that stuff. Why would Lincoln Riley want to leave that to go to UCF? where their stadium is called the Bounce House because it was built so poorly that it bounces when there's a crowd in it. I don't know if that's true or not. I just like to throw that out there. That's a rumor I heard on social media. I like throwing that out there just to mess with them, rile up those UCF fans a little bit. But seriously, there is not one thing that you can point to that goes, you know what, I could see Lincoln Riley wanting to leave USC to go to Central Florida. It's just not happening. I'm all for, again, look, you're so close to Disney World. I'm all for dreaming about the magic. Love Disney. I'm a 90s baby. I grew up on Disney, all right? Hercules, The Lion King, Bug's Life, all that stuff. I grew up on Disney. Still love it to this day. I'm an annual pass holder. But leave the magic in the Magic Kingdom because you're not getting it north of Orlando at UCF. It's just not happening. Lincoln Riley is not leaving. You're a 6 at the bar. Leave the 10s alone. Go talk to a 7. That's where you're at. Dan Mullen? Dan Mullen's a 7. Go talk to Dan Mullen. That's actually a 7 that could be successful for you. That's a 7 you could have a healthy relationship with. Maybe Will Muschamp if you want to go down that road. That's more like dropping down to a 5, but still, it's within the range of possibility for you. That's all I'm trying to say. Some other college sports news. Are we seeing a changing of the guard with college basketball? I think we might be. If you've been watching the SEC-ACC Challenge over the last couple of days, we might be, right? Usually ACC, it's usually SEC for football. ACC, they're basketball, right? It might be flipping on its head because the SEC is like 11-2 or 12-2 against ACC teams this year. I don't know if that's just because the ACC is just down. Maybe they're just having a bad year on the court. Maybe it's just early on in the season and the SEC teams are catching these teams at the right time. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is a list of SEC teams, Tennessee, Florida, Bama, all looking really good. Auburn looking good. Several SEC programs looking pretty impressive so far through the early part of the season, right? I think Florida, Tennessee, they've got a matchup coming up in a couple of weeks. I full-heartedly believe that's going to be a top five matchup, and that's going to be must-watch college basketball. And if I'm correct on this, I believe both teams should be and could be undefeated going into that game. Right? Florida's off to their best start since they went 17-0 in 2006, the same year they won a national title under Billy Donovan. Todd Golden, with all the extracurricular stuff he's got going on, he's got the Gators playing good basketball. They beat Virginia by 19 last night. Tennessee, Alabama, all taking care of business against ACC teams. Oddly enough, Kentucky getting beat by Clemson the other night. I mean, again, I'm not taking anything away from Clemson. Clemson's a good basketball program. But, I mean, Kentucky is – it's Kentucky. Now, obviously, Coach Cal not there this year. That's going to cause them to kind of maybe drop down a peg or two. But it's still Kentucky basketball. And then, obviously, Auburn dropping a game last night to North Carolina? I don't know. I'm losing track of all these games in the ACC Challenge. What I do know is the SEC seemingly is dominating it right now. And that's something that could be very concerning if you're an ACC basketball fan, because the SEC, like I said, that's usually a football conference. That is usually one of those conferences where you don't really have to worry about playing them on the court. You got to worry about playing them on the gridiron. And here they are on the court, and they're handling their business pretty well. So I don't know. It's going to be fun to see the way this season plays out. I think there's going to be several SEC teams. That SEC tournament is going to be ridiculous coming up at the end of this season, because I think there's going to be several SEC teams that are going to be vying for top spots inside the NCAA tournament. I think Alabama's going to be there. I think Tennessee's going to be there. Florida, Auburn. I think Kentucky's still going to be a part of that conversation as well. The SEC with basketball has really done a good job of stepping it up, especially on the men's side of things. I mean, on the women's side of things, South Carolina is still dominant, right? South Carolina, as a matter of fact, definitely looking forward to, was it on Sunday, South Carolina and TCU. That's going to be a great game in women's college basketball for sure. I mean, TCU, ranked 9-0, You got South Carolina just being South Carolina. That's gonna be a fun game coming up on Sunday for sure to watch. Lots of great talent in that game. I think, look, the SEC has done a great job of kind of changing the narrative of their basketball programs. And like I said, could be seeing the changing of the guard. I don't know. Maybe it's just early in the season. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. There's still a lot left to go until we get to late February and March. So we'll hold our water on crowning the SEC the new head conference in college basketball just yet. We'll take a timeout when we come back. More of the glass half full right after this.
Sunday in NFL play, the Browns take on the Steelers at 11 a.m. Then the Chargers clash with the Chiefs at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook / ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Love a little Mannheim steamroller. Always makes it feel like Christmas time. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. Again, we are just 20 days away from Christmas. Just to kind of give you another anxiety attack if you haven't started shopping. Like your boy. I'm scared. Amazon going to be coming in clutch for me this year. You see a bunch of Amazon packages outside my apartment. Just mind your business. Christmas presents. Some of them may be for me, from myself, but no, I'm kidding. Let's get back into it now. I want to talk about, so we're winding down the NFL season. I want to talk about the playoff race, more particular, the AFC wildcard playoff race, because there are five teams that are really kind of vying for that final spot. You've got Baltimore, Denver, Indianapolis, Miami, and the Chargers. Some have a better shot at it than others. But I think really those are the five teams that are really going to be kind of pushing and shoving each other down the stretch. It's going to be like Talladega Nights when Ricky Bobby and Jean Paul Pierre or whatever Sacha Baron Cohen's character's name was. I'm blanking on it. If you can remember it, feel free to text it in 850-623-1330. But anyways, it's like when they have their wreck. And then they're just racing each other and just kind of like pushing and shoving each other towards the finish line. Totally illegal and in no way, shape, or form is an actual finish in NASCAR. You get out your car, you're DQ'd, you're disqualified. Not Dairy Queen, you're disqualified. But you know, I think that's what we're going to have with these five teams heading down the stretch. Is it's going to be like those two guys in Talladega Nights just racing each other on foot down the rest of the track. As for the Baltimore Ravens, I think they have the best chance. They're got according to ESPN, they've got about a 97.3% chance. So we'll round that down to a 97% chance of getting that wild card spot or getting one of the wild card spots. They're at 8-5 on the year. You look at the way they started, right? It's kind of really been the first 10 weeks of the season. Their defensive rank was 28th. Right, so their defense was kind of, all right, you know, kind of started off a little slow. But that offense, though, was stellar. Top-ranked offense in the NFL for the first 10 weeks of the season. Since then, week 11 through week 13, it's kind of flipped. The offense has dropped to 15, and the defense is up to number 8. So the defense is keeping them in games and giving them shots at winning games. But, man, this offense for the Baltimore Ravens have just not been able to really kind of get things going. Derrick Henry is still getting numbers, yes, but they just, that whole narrative that I love to give that narrative. I love to give that stat at the beginning of the season. Derrick Henry rushes for 100 yards or more, the Ravens win the game. That's not the case anymore, right? That is not the case anymore. This Ravens offense has definitely kind of trailed off the last couple of weeks, and that's a big reason why they have gone from being that AFC North team that everybody was looking at as being right there with the Bills and the Chiefs. Now all of a sudden the Steelers are in first place in that division, and the Ravens are having to fight for a wild card spot. So they've got that 97% chance. They have got to, though. They have got to get that offense moving in the right direction. They got to get it back on track like they had the first 10 weeks of the season. If they can do that, then I think they're a shoo-in for that wild card spot. I don't think there's a way they come back and win the division, just simply because the way that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens tend to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hate to keep bringing this up for Ohio State fans, but it's very similar to Ohio State and Ryan Day with Michigan. For whatever reason, they can play extremely well against everybody else in the NFL. They play that one team, they pull an Amber Heard. I don't know why, they just do. The next team on this list, the Chargers, believe it or not, are sitting here with about a 95% chance of getting that playoff spot for the wild card. Jim Harbaugh doing a great job in his first season there. And look, quick turnarounds are just what he does, right? He did it at Stanford. He did it with the 49ers. He did it at Michigan. Now he's doing it with the Chargers. And it helps when you have Justin Herbert as your starting quarterback, right? I think they're going to add some more key pieces through the offseason. I've said it before about the Chargers. I think the Chargers are close, but they need a few more pieces to actually be a legit contender. I don't think they're a legit contender, yes. I think the Chargers can get into the playoffs, but I think it'll be one and done for them. I just don't think that they have the power to match up against some of these other teams that they'll have to beat inside the playoffs in order to get to a championship game, whether that's AFC or even the Super Bowl. So the Chargers are a good team. They're 8-4 on the year. I just don't know if they're there just yet. The Broncos at 75%, they're 8-5. If the Broncos do find a way to get this wild card spot, it is going to be because of their defense. It really is. John Gerard. That was the character, Sacha Baron Cohen's. That was his character. I appreciate that. Whoever that was that texted in, I definitely appreciate that. John Gerard. I knew it was Jean something. It was something that was French, and it was Jean something. So appreciate that. It's the glass half full, by the way. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. You want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. We are talking about AFC teams with their chances to get into the wild card spot. And the Denver Broncos, 75% chance to get in at 8-5. Their defense is going to have to continue to carry them. Bo Nix has played well. Bo Nix is doing a good job. But I don't think Bo Nix is going to be the type of quarterback that's going to make those plays to get you into the wild card spot and get you into the NFL playoffs. I just don't see it happening. I don't, unfortunately, see it happening. I think it's got to be the defense that continues to carry Denver, much like they did. I mean, we saw it Monday night. Look, if it wasn't for that defense Monday night, yes, Bo Nix made some great throws. They made some good plays. But if it's not for that defense getting those three picks of Jameis Winston, two of them which were pick sixes, I don't see Denver winning that game. Defense got to continue to carry them for the Broncos there in the Mile High City. Indianapolis, 6-7 on the year. They've got about a 27% chance. It's been kind of an up-and-down year for the Colts. It really has. Anthony Richardson coming back from an injury to start off the year. There was a lot of excitement on what could possibly be with him as the starting quarterback, and it just hasn't panned out. Then you had that odd situation halfway through the season where he has a play. He taps out at the end of the play to come off the field and get a rest, which you just don't see from quarterbacks that much, right? They sit him out for a couple of weeks after that, have Joe Flacco start. I think it was kind of a mix of that was a little bit of a punishment to the young, not rookie, but also kind of a rookie, because let's not forget, he really didn't have a rookie season last year. He got hurt early on in the season, Anthony Richardson did. So he's not technically a rookie, but he also is still kind of a rookie, if that makes sense to you. So I think it was just kind of a way of, you know, kind of punishing him a little bit for the tap out that he did. But then also I think they looked at it and said, yeah, we're not winning with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is the magic's gone with Joe Flacco, right? That arm's just not what it used to be. So I think they decided to put him back in for the betterment of the team. And it's, you know, for the most part, It has worked off for him. I mean, you know, his off-target rate was the worst in the league at 24.4%, meaning he was missing his targets 24.4% of the time when he threw the ball. That's dropped down to 23.7. And you may go, well, that's not a lot. That's, in this regard, that's pretty significant. So I think that's pretty good for him. He's definitely shown improvement there with the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts and the other team that we're going to talk about here in a second, we'll get to them. I really don't think they have a chance. The Colts are just still one of those teams that just, they need to rebuild more. I think they're a little bit ahead of what they actually are, and I think that's kind of what's hurting them. So I think the Colts a little bit ahead of where they actually are. They kind of have a false sense of where they're at as far as a team goes, and that's what's hurting them. The Colts are not quite as good as what they think. I don't think they're quite as good as their 6-7 record would tell you. So I don't see them getting into that wild card spot. And this final team, I'm going to say has zero chance, even though technically they do have an 8.6% chance. So we'll round that up to a 9% chance. But at 5-7, the Miami Dolphins. What happened with the Miami Dolphins was that Tua Tagovailoa concussion. Because you see a significant defense. Mike McDaniel built this team and built this offense around Tua. Without Tua, it just doesn't work. With Tua, sometimes it doesn't even work, as we saw Thanksgiving night against Green Bay on the road. Tua is the catalyst for this Miami Dolphins team. If Tua stays healthy, as we saw last year, they're a playoff contending team that's going to be in the conversation for a championship. If Tua is healthy, they are a really good football team. If Tua is not healthy, like this year, like 2022, then the Miami Dolphins tend to struggle, right? I think having Tua out for those few weeks that he was out is what hurt them. It's what put them behind the eight ball. And I think that's why now they're sitting here at 5-7. I mean, Miami could easily be 7-5, if not 8-4, and they would be a little bit better off as far as the conversation of the wild card goes. But because Tua goes down with that injury and is out for as long as he is, I don't know. I don't know if they have enough firepower. They're going to need a lot of help ahead of them, and they're pretty much going to have to win out. So Miami's going to have to win out these last final weeks, finish 10-7, and get a lot of help in order to climb up into one of those wild card spots. I don't know if I see that happening for them. They find new ways to shoot themselves in the foot each and every week. We saw it last week. Muffed punt, penalties, things like that. All of a sudden, they're in an early hole against the Packers that they just couldn't climb out of. I don't have faith that the Miami Dolphins can get into a wild card spot because, like I said, they have to win out, go 10-7, and then get help in front of them. We'll take our time out. When we come back, we will shift gears. Actually, we won't shift gears. We'll stay in the NFL. We'll look at tonight's Thursday night football matchup between the Packers and the Lions. Plus, we will have your headline roundup. It's all coming up next right here on the Glass Half Full.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
This is Wendy with Barbary Plumbing, wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
Hi, this is Brandon Cherry.
And Taylor Cartwright.
We're the owners of the Culver's here in Pensacola and Milton. Just wishing everybody happy holiday season.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Hi, this is James Zirkle with Seville Power and Lawn Equipment, wishing you happy holidays.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
The Rich Eisen Show, on weekdays after Greeny, 11 to 2, on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Wrapping things up on today's Glass Half Full. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And if you would like to jump in on the conversation, you can definitely do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. We have our headline roundup, as we always do, starting off the final segment of today's show, taking a look at all of the top headlines inside the world of sports. Oklahoma quarterback Jackson Arnold announced he is planning to transfer after the Oklahoma Sooners finished the season 5-7. His legs were a big part of that win over Alabama a couple of weeks ago. So he is definitely going to be looking for a new home. Florida State probably going to be looking for a quarterback in the transfer portal. Throw his name into that list as well of quarterbacks already there that Florida State could potentially look at. We've got the Ravens. They have suspended Deontay Johnson. He refused to come into the game on Sunday against the Eagles. So they wanted him to come in. He refused, said, no, I'm not going in. I'm not playing. So they have suspended him for the cause of being of a conduct detrimental to the team. That is the way they are phrasing that there. So he is going to be suspended. Aaron Rodgers says that while the last five games of the season, he wants to play well, wants to put on a good performance. He isn't out to prove anything to the Jets management. There have been some conversations about whether the Jets management would look to maybe bench Aaron Rodgers moving forward. Really kind of his whole future may be up in the air there with the Jets moving forward. But definitely for sure, looking at this, and seems like Aaron Rodgers is like, look, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I shouldn't have to prove anything. It's kind of like I saw an interview, Gladiator 2's out, right? Fantastic movie. If you're a fan of Gladiator and you haven't gone seen Gladiator 2, go see it. Denzel Washington is in it, and somebody asked Denzel the last time he actually auditioned for a movie. He just chuckled and said, it's been about 30, 40 years. I don't audition anymore. I think that's kind of where Aaron Rodgers is. I don't have to prove anything anymore. I'm Aaron Rodgers. Let's head to the phone lines. Caller, what's going on?
What's going on, Jordan? How are you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, I'm beginning to think your glass that is half full of 151 when you talk about Miami's, being out of the playoffs, because I mean they haven't beaten anybody. The best team they beat was a 7-5 Florida team. So I don't care if they've got only two losses. This is 12 teams now. Yeah, okay. There's never been a 3-loss team in the 4-team playoff. This is 12 teams. So I mean, you know, obviously Alabama has beaten three key top 25 teams, and yeah, they've had some gaffes, but Miami hasn't beaten anybody. So, I mean, I'm not trying to, be overly negative. I'm trying to, shed light on a little bit of reality.
Look, man, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I get it. I just think that the committee is – I do think that, look, when you make the case for a 9-3 team, because one of the things you just said in favor of Alabama is that Alabama's beaten three top 25 teams. Well, so is South Carolina. So, I mean, that's a notch towards South Carolina. I think when you have that group of Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Alabama right there, so close to each other, and honestly, when you nitpick and go through, they are very similar and in the same case right there. It's kind of hard to say, why would we put Alabama ahead of Miami for the same reasons that we're keeping Ole Miss and South Carolina behind Miami? So that's if we're gonna do that, let's move Ole Miss and South Carolina ahead of Miami and push Miami out altogether, or we need to actually at least keep Miami in the picture.
Well, I definitely think that South Carolina and Ole Miss are getting a little bit of a negative, vibe on this, because they have been pretty good, especially Ole Miss. I mean, their offense is prolific this year, but. You're right about the name and the brand when it comes to that. But I mean, I'm sorry, Miami fans, but you guys just don't have the juice. And I don't really think that they're in a stepchild division as far as the division, as far as the conferences go. And they'll always be looked at that until two or three of those teams start beating everybody, and then maybe they'll become equal with the Big Ten and the SEC, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
Look, I don't think it will either. Honestly, I think the only conference that's below them right now is the Pac-12, and that's only because the Pac-12 doesn't exist. I would even put the Big 12 ahead of the ACC right now.
Right. Well, I just, you know, I just wanted to throw in a comment, man, and I appreciate you answering the phone, and I love your show, man. Definitely an upgrade from last year, and you guys have a great day.
Appreciate it, man. You have a great day, and if we don't hear you from you again within the next 20 days, which I hope we do, but if we don't, have a Merry Christmas, buddy. Definitely appreciate the call there. And, of course, if you want to be a part of it, we got like a minute left. You want to hop in here, 850-623-1330. But with that minute left, do want to talk real quick about tonight's matchup between the Packers and the Lions. Lions are favored by 3.5. It's going to be a close game at home for them. This is the top two teams in the NFC North battling it out. Detroit trying to stay above the 10-2 Eagles for that top spot inside the NFC, trying to get that number one seed and that bye in the into the playoffs. But it is definitely going to be a tough one for them, for sure. I think Green Bay's rushing defense against Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, that is definitely going to be something to keep an eye on in this game. Green Bay's rushing defense held Christian McCaffrey 31 yards on 11 carries a couple of weeks ago. This Green Bay rushing defense is legit, and if there is a team to slow down the rushing attack for Detroit, which has been pretty darn good this year, it is going to be the Green Bay Packers. I think this is going to be a very fun game tonight. How does Jared Goff go up against McKinney and Joseph? They lead the NFL in interceptions. Everything's favoring the Packers except for home field. That's going towards the Lions, but hey, Packers have won 5 straight NFC North road games, including the one over the Lions last year. I'm actually going Packers with the upset tonight. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on the Glass Half Full War Eagle Weekly coming up next.